In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord tells his apostles very plainly, we go up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man is going to be handed over to the Gentiles. He's going to be mocked, spit upon, scourged, and put to death. But on the third day, he will rise again. Our Lord is looking forward to this day. His whole life here on earth is for this purpose, that he may lay down his life so that we might have life. He wanted to take our punishments upon himself so that we would be freed from them and we could enter into the kingdom of heaven. So our Lord's entire life, 33 years, he's been preparing himself for this occasion. For 3 years, he's been preparing his disciples, these apostles. This is what I came to do. This is what is in the prophecies. You see, I have fulfilled all these prophecies. This is what's going to happen. And now the time is at hand. And yet the apostles still do not understand. They cannot comprehend how Christ, the Son of God, is going to suffer. How can it be that he's going to suffer? How can he do this or allow this to happen? It cannot be. And it is beyond their comprehension. And so they keep blocking it out of their mind. I don't understand. I don't get it. He surely must be speaking in parables, figuratively speaking, metaphorically speaking. Not really. But yet our Lord keeps emphasizing over and over again, this is what was prophesied, this is what is going to happen, this is what we must do. This is what I came to do. And you might say our Lord is actually even looking forward to it. Okay, the preparation has been done, let's do it. Now is the time. And I say the same to us. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. It is the beginning of Lent. It is a time of penance. And penance is a strange word because we associate it with the sacrament of penance, confession, as many of our children know it. And then in their confession, they're given a penance to do, usually a few prayers, few Hail Marys for the poor souls, for the conversion of sinners, for an increase of vocations. And that is my penance. I said my penance. I fulfilled my obligation. But I think somehow we miss the whole understanding of penance. What is the purpose of that? Those prayers the priest gives us? What is this whole concept of penance? And it is very much, I don't like a trial, like you see on TV or if you've ever been in a court. The judge imposes a sentence upon the criminal. That sentence imposed upon the criminal, you might say, is a worldly penance. What is the purpose of that sentence upon the criminal? What is the goal of the judge in making this criminal suffer? Any idea, Octavius? Why do we send the criminal to jail? Lock him up. Because we feel like being mean? We send the criminal to jail and we lock him up for several reasons. First of all, we want to make sure this criminal understands what he did was wrong. We have to teach him a lesson, don't we? We also have to teach a lesson to the rest of the world so the rest of the world says, I'm not going to do what he did. That'll land me in jail. But also there's a sense of justice. Reparation has to be made. In the Old Testament, we read an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Those who were victims, those who were injured, said, "We have suffered. It is only fair that this man now suffers because he has caused my suffering." And so we see what we call a vindictive punishment, if you will, and vindictive penance. And then we see a medicinal penance. And they work together. And in the sacrament of confession, the priest gives us a penance that is supposed to serve both ends. We're supposed to satisfy justice, and we're supposed to receive a medicinal penance. It's supposed to heal our souls. It's supposed to help correct us and save us from a greater suffering. And when the season of Lent comes, we tell everyone, this is a season of penance. What is penance? Well, the church imposes upon at least the adults, during the season of Lent, we have to fast and abstain. What is fasting? Those studying their catechism should understand that a little bit. Fasting is cutting down on the quantity of something. We eat less food. And the catechism shows us that during Lent, if you're, 21 to 59, you must not eat in between meals. You can have two small meals and one large meal, and the large meal must not, or the two small meals must not exceed the size of the larger meal, and you can have meat once a day. That is the laws of fasting. And every Catholic, age 21 to 59, is obliged to that law of fasting, with exceptions being made for sickness or pregnancy or nursing a baby. If your health requires otherwise, you can get an exception. But then we have the law of abstinence. What does that mean? Well, when the church speaks of abstinence during Lent, we abstain from eating flesh meat. We practice that all throughout the year. Every Friday, we don't eat meat. We abstain from eating meat. And we can substitute something in its place. If we're in the age where we have to fast, fasting includes, you might say, a kind of abstaining. We only have meat at the main meal, only once a day. And so we have these laws of fasting and abstinence. They are a type of penance. And the penance is designed to appease the justice of God for the sins we've committed, to help heal our souls from any wounds we've inflicted on our souls, but to make us healthy, to give us supernatural life, spiritual life. And so our Holy Mother, the Church, has imposed these penances upon us for the season of Lent. But we also know that we need to add our own penances. We need to make our own mortifications. What the Church imposes upon us is very minimal. You say, well, what should I do? And traditionally, we teach little kids, we're going to give up something. That's a kind of fasting, right? But you can also abstain. We can give up something we would normally do and replace it with something that we perhaps wouldn't normally do. And that can be, for little children, we give up eating candy. And if you want to fast, we just give up eating the candy altogether. If we want to abstain from eating candy, we might, instead of having a piece of candy, will have an apple or a carrot or something that is good for my body rather than something that is bad for my body. And that can be a form of abstinence, like we abstain from eating flesh meat and we substitute our protein with fish. It's the same concept, and we can do this. But everything actually boils down to our intentions. Why do we do this? The criminal goes to jail, not usually because he wants to or he chooses to. Normally he is forced to go to jail. It's against his will. And I'm sad to say that with most Catholics, we go into the season of Lent with the same attitude as the criminal going to jail. If we could get out of it in some shape or form, we would. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to do penance. I don't want to mortify myself. I don't want to fast. I don't want to abstain. But now, because I have to, I'm being forced, I'm going to do it, but not because I want to. And now I draw your attention to our Lord in today's gospel. We go up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man is going to be handed over to the Gentiles. He's going to be mocked and spit upon and put to death. And then on the third day, he's going to rise again. He goes with his eyes wide open into Jerusalem. He takes his apostles there with him. All of his disciples, they know, or at least they've heard, what's going to happen. Our Lord isn't running away from this suffering. And I suggest that we should not run away from our Lenten penances and mortifications. We should embrace them knowingly. This is the will of God. This is the will of our Holy Mother, the Church. This is what, not what I have to do, but what I must do. This is what is asked of me, demanded of me. This is what I need to do. This is what is going to heal my soul. And so I'm willing to embrace this penance, this mortification, as Christ embraced his cross. Which brings us, you might say, to the next level of penance, the next level of mortification. It's not just in the physical abstinence or fasting. That's not really what's important. What is important is what's happening in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. Why are we doing it? With what attitude are we doing this? What intention do we have? That is what is important. Am I doing this because I have to? Am I doing this because I love God? And because this is just. This is true. This is good. This is the medicine that is necessary to heal my soul and make me once again pleasing to God. What are my motivations? If I can get to the point when I'm doing it for the love of God, my penances, my fasting, my abstinence actually become sacrifices, offerings to God. A sacrifice is an offering to God. In the Old Testament, we see, well, actually right in the book of Genesis, the first fruits are gathered and they are sacrificed. They are offered to God. They're put upon an altar, they're burned, they're consumed. We don't have any gain from their consumption, if you will. These are burned and they're giving to God as an act of worship. We worship God in sacrifice. We give of ourselves. And because God is merciful, he spared our lives. What should be upon that altar is our own bodies. But in the Old Testament, God accepted the sacrifice of a lamb, a calf, a goat. Some animal was sacrificed in our place. His blood was drawn. And he was burnt, was consumed. Some of the animals were consumed by the priests. Some of the meat was offered to the populace. But the animal's life was sacrificed for the love of God, given to God in recognition. We're offering you this life of the animal, and please accept it in the place of our own lives. Not too long ago, we celebrated the Feast of the Purification. We saw, if you were following along liturgically, that Mary and Joseph took the child Jesus to the temple, and they made an offering. Because the firstborn belongs to God, this child belongs to God, this child should have been offered to God in sacrifice. But instead of offering the child in sacrifice, they required, in place of this child, you offer a lamb or doves or whatever it is you can afford. You sacrifice the lives of these animals in place of the life of your child, because this child belongs to God, not to you. But you can redeem, you can buy this child back from God by giving God the life of an animal. A perfect animal in its place. Christ has come to be our sacrifice, to offer himself to his heavenly Father, to purchase us, to redeem us so that we can live. He has taken our place upon the cross. But what I hope to draw your attention to is that he did this willingly. He embraced this sacrifice, this suffering, willingly, lovingly, knowingly. He went and sacrificed himself for us. And now he asked us, in just a little way, follow me. This season of Lent, embrace your cross. Not as the criminal against his will, but as Christ, knowing this is God's will. This is good and healthy. This is true and just. If we embrace this Lenten season, all the penances, all the mortifications, not just what the church prescribes, but our own little sacrifices, let's enter all of these things together for the love of God and make an offering of them to God, and this becomes our sacrifice, our offering to God, and it is holy and pleasing to God. We recognize his right over us, and we give him a small token of our lives, a small part of our lives, or at least the pleasure that we gain from this life. We offer it on the altar to him, and it is a holy and acceptable offering when we unite it with Christ. And so it is not burdensome when the church gives us these laws that we receive Holy Communion during the Easter time, that we confess our sins at least once a year. Normally we try to make sure it's during the Lenten season, the season of penance, to confess our sins, to set aside our sins, and embrace a life of penance in reparation for our sins to satisfy the justice of God, medicinally to heal our souls, to purify our bodies from this evil inclination. But more importantly, to increase our love for God, to draw closer to Christ, to draw closer to God, looking forward to an eternal happiness in heaven, and willing to pay these little sacrifices, these little mortifications of our passing pleasures, to set those pleasures aside here on earth because they're only temporary, and to reach our hands out for eternal happiness with Christ in heaven. That is my prayer. That is my goal. That is my wish for all of us during this Lenten season. Let us follow Christ up into Jerusalem. Let us suffer patiently the abuses, the world, our neighbor, our fallen natures. Patiently endure the discomfort, even the abuses, for the love of God, for the love of our neighbor, and turn all of our penances into a sacrificial offering to God for our own salvation, the salvation of those whom we love, the faithful departed, for the conversion of sinners. Let us embrace this sentiment of Christ, where we love God and we love the world around us, all our neighbors, all those whom God has put in our lives. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.